Hello, and we're glad that you're joining us for a Bible study today. We're going to be studying from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. And we're going to learn lessons from the past. Very important lessons, very significant lessons. That's why they're in the Bible. God has put his scriptures in his word, the messages, so that we can learn them and we can go to heaven. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all scripture is profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is profitable to make the man of God complete and to thoroughly furnish him unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 17. So we're glad to be able to open the Bible up, and we're glad that you are with us, and we will be studying from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And my name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, and we are located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We hope that you could come and be with us sometime if you're in our area. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1, and our lesson today is learning lessons from the past. So let's read this passage together, and then let's talk about it. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat and all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur you as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry." We ought to flee from idolatry, of course, for what we just read. God destroyed those people who were worshiping idols. Well, what are the lessons that we can learn from this passage? Number one, we learn the lesson of baptism. The children of Israel were baptized. How were they baptized? Well, it tells us right in this passage. It says that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So they were enveloped in moisture. You know, moisture can be liquid form, but it can also be gas form. And when the cloud was over them, that was moisture, that was liquid. And so when they passed through the sea, they had water on both sides. And then the cloud was over them, and the cloud was in front of them and behind them. And so they were enclosed in the water. And of course, that is only a shadow of our baptism today. That's only a type of our baptism today. So they were baptized. And you know, God deliberately led them through that sea. As we read the account from Exodus chapter 14, God told them exactly where to go, and that was to go by the Red Sea. They could have gone out of the, and of course we're talking back to the time of Moses, and the children of Israel being delivered from their Egyptian bondage. That's the time we're talking about. And God deliberately led them through the sea. He wanted them to be baptized. Now, he wanted them to be baptized. Those were his people. He led them through the water, had the cloud over them. He did that on purpose. That was God's design. And, you know, today we are baptized as well. Now, in their baptism, their enemy was all destroyed. They were destroyed when God brought the water back down upon Pharaoh. And the 600 chariots that he had brought to capture the children of Israel and to bring them back to Egypt. But God didn't want them brought back to Egypt. He wanted their enemies destroyed. And that's why he led them to the water, to be baptized, to wash away their enemies, to destroy their enemies in that water of the Red Sea. And now God wants us to be baptized. And we're baptized, we have our sins washed away. They had their oppressors washed away. Well, you know, sin's an oppressor. Sin causes us to be an oppression. Acts 22:16, the man Saul of Tarsus was told, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." We know from reading Romans chapter 6 that sin is oppressive and it causes us to be bondservants to it. The children of Israel were bondservants to the Egyptians, but God took care of that problem. He destroyed the Egyptians in the Red Sea. Sin is a slave master to us. And God took care of that problem by our baptism. Now, if you've not been baptized, we want to encourage you to be baptized so that your sins can be washed away. Jesus has commanded it. Jesus commanded the gospel be preached to the whole world, Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, that's the obligation of the church. Now, here's the obligation of the sinner. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Jesus said that we need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And so we are to be baptized to wash away our sins, just as the children of Israel were baptized in the Red Sea to wash away their enemies. Now remember, God chose it. God chose it. Moses didn't choose it. God chose it. God commanded them to go to the Red Sea, and he would make a way for them to escape. God commanded that. God required it. It wasn't a requirement of men. And so this commandment comes from heaven. And just as Moses and the children of Israel had to pass through the sea in order to get out of Egypt and their enemies to be destroyed, so we must comply. And I am with Christ on this. I hope you're with Christ. Are you with him? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Are you with Christ? Mark 16:16. So one of the lessons that we learn from this great chapter is there's a baptism. And God ordered it. He ordered one for them, and he's ordered one for us as well. But let's notice another lesson that we learn from this passage. It says in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 10, And all did eat the same spiritual meat. Spiritual meat. He's not talking about the manna. He's not talking about the quail. He's talking about spiritual meat, spiritual food. Jesus told the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Furthermore, it says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." There was a spiritual rock following them, providing spiritual food and spiritual drink. And the Bible says that was Christ. Christ existed before being born of Mary. He existed in eternity. He came from heaven. And we are aware of his existence in this passage. They received the same, all received the same spiritual meat and spiritual drink. And that law was brought to them when they came to Mount Sinai, beginning in Exodus 19. They all had the same, they all had the same spiritual food and spiritual drink. It came from one source, And our Bible comes from one source. It comes from God. That's true today. What was true back then is true today. They drank from the same spiritual drink. They ate the same spiritual food that came from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 and verse 18. He is the one source of the gospel. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." They had one source of information, one source of spiritual meat and spiritual drink, and that came from Christ. And so we have the same today. There are no inspired men today. We don't need another source. We've got our source. Our source is Christ. Jesus is the one source that all men need. We don't need two books. We only need one book, and that book is the Bible. We need to be satisfied with the one book that God has given to us. The one source of our food is God's Word. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Jesus is our source of spiritual food, and his word is going to judge us in the last day. We don't have two sources of information. We don't have Jesus and Joseph Smith. We don't have Jesus and David Koresh. We only have one source of information, and that is from Jesus Christ. "If any man is a prophet today, let him perform a miracle. Let him show us that he's inspired by raising a dead person, by healing a leper, by healing the blind." That's what the apostles did. That's what they did in the Bible. That's what Jesus did. If you can heal the lame and heal the blind, then you're an inspired man today. But no man can do that today. I know deaf people. I know blind people. I know crippled people. If you have the ability and the power, come over and heal them. I'd love for you to do that. But you cannot speak inspired information if you don't have the power to back it up as they did in the Bible. And so we learned some important lessons. Number one, we learned that baptism was essential then, commanded by God then, and it's essential today. It's commanded by God today. They had only one source of spiritual food then, and that's all we have today. Furthermore, we learned that the disobedient were punished. That's a very important lesson. If you disobey God, what can you expect? You can expect to be punished. in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. What does that mean? Well, let's read on. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 people died in one day. So we learn from this passage a very important lesson that disobedient people and rebellious people will be destroyed. On many occasions that we read about in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we read of people being destroyed. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 9, it says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Remember that? How that God sent the fiery serpents to bite the people and to kill the people because they were unhappy and murmuring. In Numbers 15, there was the Sabbath breaker. He picked up sticks on the Sabbath day and they arrested him and they asked God, what should we do with him? And God said, stone him with stones. Remember in Exodus 32, the people built a golden calf. God was not happy with that and destroyed thousands on that day. In Numbers 16, there was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and 400 of the renowned people of the children of Israel. They were swallowed up by the earth. God opened the earth up. They fell down in it. And then God closed the earth back up. There was Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, where Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. And God sent fire down from heaven and devoured them. These are examples for our warning. God means what he says. What did God say? God says the wages of sin are death. Romans 6 and verse 23. Are those wages real? Oh yes, they're real. As a matter of fact, none of the children of Israel over the age of 20 made it to the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. All of them fell in the wilderness. They did not receive the land of rest. They did not gain an inheritance. They died in the wilderness. And God's wages of sin is death. They died in the wilderness. And God's pay scale for sin has not changed. The wages of sin is still death. And, you know, all through the Old Testament, God's people were punished for their sins. In 2 Kings chapter 17, God punished Samaria, the children of Israel. He punished them with captivity by the Assyrians. They came down and captured them and destroyed Samaria, and they were carried away into captivity. Also in 2 Kings 24 and 25, God destroyed Judah and the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonian armies because they displeased God. They worshiped idols. And so God has a law. We learn an important point here in 1 Corinthians 10. God will punish those who disobey him. And we read about God's punishment all through the Bible. We read about it in Matthew 25. There are two parables, the parable of the 10 virgins, and then there's the parable of the talents. And then also in that chapter, there is not a parable, but explanation of the judgment day. What's going to happen on the judgment day? Well, Jesus is going to come. He's going to sit on his throne of glory. He's going to have all the holy angels with him. He's going to divide the people as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he's going to reward the sheep for their faithfulness, but the goats are going to be punished for their lack of serving God. And so what we're studying about is, in 1 Corinthians 10, the lessons that we learn. We learn there's a lesson about baptism. We learn there's a lesson about God's providing spiritual nourishment. It comes from one source. We also learn that God meant what he said. You violate my word and you will be destroyed. We need to know that. And they were punished for things that caused God to be upset. They were lusting after evil things. They were lusting after food and idols and committing fornication. The idols were terrible things. It says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 10, neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That was their activities under the influence of idolatry. They just let loose. They let loose. They lived lasciviously. Then in verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. That's their sin. They were worshiping Baal, and they were committing fornication, and God destroyed them. Verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 10 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. They tried the patience of our Lord, and God sent what he called fiery serpents. I can only imagine that when the people were bitten, that those wounds burned with a great burning. If you've ever been stung by a wasp or a bee, you know the burning of sensation that goes along with that. But also notice verse number 10, neither murmur you as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Murmuring in their hearts were not right. And the Bible says in verse 11, these things happen unto them for examples. And so, what does he say? Look down to verse number 11. He says, now all these happen unto them for our ensamples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so, what should we learn from that? Well, verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 10, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ. Don't let us. You don't do that. Neither let us do that. Don't go down that same path. That's why this is written, that you and I do not go down the same path as the Israelites. They continued to rebel against God. They continued to sin. And they continued to anger God, and God punished them. And that's what we want to avoid. We want to go to heaven. We want to live with God forever and ever in heaven. And so it's going to take our obedience to his will, our humble compliance. Now, all of those over the age of 20 died in the wilderness. They didn't make it into the promised land, but Joshua and Caleb did. And that's what we can do. You and I can make it into the promised land. They showed us you could be faithful. Joshua and Caleb showed us that you could make the journey and please God. That's what they showed us. They showed us that reaching the promised land is possible. They were human beings, just like we are, and yet they made it into the promised land. And we read about that in the book of Joshua. Beloved, I'm glad to be able to study the Bible with you today and to have this time to search out the Word of God, and to do so in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 14. What a powerful passage this is. Thank you for tuning in today, and pray that you'll continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network and other good lessons that you'll hear on this at this place May God bless you. Continue to study the Word of God. If I don't see you on this side of life, we hope to see you in heaven. Keep praying. Keep studying your Bible. Worship God. Find a Church of Christ near you and worship with them. Thank you for your time today. God bless, and we hope to see you next time.